Okay, we're going to get started. Our next presenter is Ford. We've got Ken Zube, Vice President of Sales, Marketing, and Service for Ford Americas. And I think Ken's going to give some opening comments and then move on with Q&A after that.
Yes, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm supposed to say good afternoon. Okay, there you go, good. I've got some prepared remarks for you, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, a little bit telling the Ford story, and then we have maybe a little bit less than a half hour to take some questions. I work in U.S. sales and marketing. I've got a couple teammates with me who work in other areas, and we can follow up on any questions that that exceeds my expertise, but we'll field all questions and go from there. So thank you very much for inviting us to come here and tell you the Ford story today. It's pretty darn exciting. I've been back with the company about 2 years, been in the auto business all my career, started with Ford a long time ago, and then took on some other assignments with some other companies, including working at retail. I was a dealer partner for a while, and then I had another assignment where I managed a retail operation, so I've been on both sides, but always in sales and marketing and always in the United States. So before we get too far along talking specifically about Ford, I thought I'd give you our perspective on the market, which has been, a while ago our company and most companies predicted a little bit stronger rebound. The rebound has been slower in coming. It's below the trends, and of course we read the news and that's your business, but you've seen the employment figures and consumer spending in other sectors. So we have pretty much followed as an industry that kind of trend. We do believe that it is slowly improving, not only with consumer spending, but also the credit market is improving. So we expect next year, as that trend continues, that the Fed will and bankers will continue to open up the credit markets for people who buy our cars and trucks. The supplier market is also improving, and I think there was a conference last week in Traverse City, Michigan, that many of you followed, and you saw the information on how the supplier market is also recovering. So these will help us as we continue to focus on what we call our plan, the Ford plan. And I think you may know the pillars, but to remind you of the pillars of the Ford plan, it's first off to aggressively restructure our business so that it's the right size for the right market size throughout not only the United States but in Europe and Asia. And we've also been accelerating the development of our new products, not only the sheet metal, but, and we're in a very big transition of this right now, our powertrains, new engines, new transmissions, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. And that's been going very well. We also want to thank you as we've continued to refinance our plan. We've made very aggressive steps with that, and it's, we will continue to do that. And finally, under the direction of Alan Mulally and the leadership team, we have been laser-focused on a One Ford plan. So Alan has got everyone focused on the car and truck business and our core businesses throughout the globe. And I'll talk about that a little bit later as we go along. So the first step that I mentioned was aggressively restructuring our business. Since 2005, we've taken out $10 billion in costs in North America alone. As many of you know, we've reduced production capacity by 40%, and we've reduced the salary workforce by 40% in that same amount of time. We have become much more competitive due to our strong relationship with the UAW, so we're very cost competitive on the labor standpoint in our plans. And we have reduced our engineering and product development costs through focusing on global product development rather than regional product development. All those have borne fruit. So we've been working to aggressively not only reduce our costs, but to accelerate the development of our products as they've come out. And, of course, over the last 2 years, and it'll be a steady stream, products and powertrains that you'll see, and I'll get to those in a moment also. We've also been very focused because the industry has been criticized in the past for having an out-of-balance situation relative to cars, SUVs, CUVs, and trucks. And we've made great strides in creating balance in that through the product development area, and we have improved on our sales in each of those areas and improved the balance between those three major segments. So we're very pleased of how that has come across to the public in the United States. As a matter of fact, this year we've shown continued progress on the balance between cars, the CUV, SUV, and truck models. And in the market, that's somewhat, I may get a question about, well, how's the full-size truck business, for example? It's somewhat dependent on the size of the market, but we're pleased with how the new product development has been active in each of those areas. So, for example, on F-Series, where we came out with a new F-Series pickup, America's number one selling pickup, we've dramatically improved our performance, 4.7% of industry growth. And this year, when we came out with the two new engines and the powertrains on the new Super Duty, which are the heavier trucks, we've dramatically improved our business on the Super Duty. As a matter of fact, in the last couple months, we've been over 50% of the heavy truck market. So we're very pleased with the public's reception to our vehicles, which have delivered on, in the case of Super Duty, not only vastly improved horsepower and torque, but significantly on fuel economy, which is one of our main targets. So last week at Traverse City, we announced, for example, that through software improvements, we were able to deliver another improvement on the Super Duty powertrains that we just introduced about 120 days ago. Those would be effective with production last week, and because they're software, we were able to go to the dealerships and improve the performance of all the vehicles in stock, and we will be letting our customers know that they can bring the vehicles in and get improvements in fuel economy by a simple reflashing of the electronic software. So it's really a huge benefit to the consumers, the way that we've been improving the product. We've also been leveraging across the globe our product platforms, and as you know, we launched the Fiesta in the United States about 45 days ago. The Fiesta has been hugely successful across the globe, where it's been introduced about a year and a half ago. As a matter of fact, we're on track to very soon sell a little under a million of the Fiestas around the globe. It'll be, by the end of this month, it'll be about 900,000 Fiestas. It's been very well received in the United States initially. It's only been to the public for about 30 days or so. And then we build them in Mexico, and the hurricane disrupted the train supply line to the United States, which we rapidly corrected. But it's available in all dealerships throughout the United States and had a good month last month. But my point is as we've come to the global platforms, we've been able to leverage the success of design and engineering costs throughout the country. So we're looking forward to that. And as an example of how that's going to grow, the B platform, which is the small car, the Fiesta, we anticipate that by the year 2014, we will sell 1.6 million vehicles on that platform. 1.6 million vehicles. On the new Focus, we're going to bring into the United States at the end of this year. We hope to enjoy similar success across the world, and people have seen, sneak previews of the product and have had a chance to experience it or share our optimism on that. So we're going to have 10 vehicles off that platform ultimately, off the C platform, which is the Focus platform. And by 2012, we will sell in excess of 2 million vehicles globally off that platform. So to put it in perspective, the Focus that we sell now in the United States, the high watermark of that has been 300,000 vehicles. So through global product development and savings in engineering costs and global sales and marketing efforts, we'll almost do seven times more of that vehicle than we ever have before. So we're going to take the lessons that we've learned from the B vehicles and the C vehicles and apply it as we go forward into the Fusion and new Mondeo as we bring those out in subsequent years. We're very, very excited on that. So the other way that we've been focusing is on our four pillars, we call them, of how to run product development: quality, green, which is fuel economy, safety, and smart. And if you'd like, I'll touch base with those right now. Our commitment throughout the globe and in the United States is every product that we bring out will have best in class or within 1 mile per gallon, because it's a bit of a moving target, of competition on fuel economy. So far, we've delivered on that with some startling results. As you know, with the Fiesta, for example, which is, again, the B car, where traditionally the automakers haven't invested heavily because the vehicles are lower priced, fuel economy is not proportionate to the size of the vehicle. Nevertheless, with that vehicle, we get 40 miles per gallon, which is absolutely class leading. So we have a commitment to fulfill in the consumer's minds of what is the most important thing for you as a buyer. And for a number of years, it's been fuel economy. So it's one of our top commitments. Best in class or within 1 mile per gallon as we move forward in every class that we go. We also have, we're loading the cars with the technologies that people want. And for example, Ford Sync, and then the new MyFord Touch technology, which is the next generation lifted to a higher level, are being embedded in all sizes of the cars. So it's not just the more expensive cars. You can get Sync on Fiesta, and you can get Sync on the high-line vehicles. It's really the democratization of technology. It's an extension of what Henry Ford really tried to bring to the automobile market, where everybody could be an owner of a car, and everyone can be an owner of the technology. We're very, very pleased with that. We want also to have high quality in the vehicles. So, frankly, fuel efficiency and quality are two of the highest drivers of consumer interest in our products. We are making great progress with that. As you know, J.D. Power has published recently their IQS numbers and their appeal numbers, and Ford has been standout. As a matter of fact, Ford division ranked fifth of all the major manufacturers. They were number one of the manufacturers of the full line, you know, from Super Duty trucks to Fiestas, rated fifth, but were number one. And the Lincolns were rated number eight. Both were significant improvements, and that's a result of incredible focus that our team has placed on quality. I mentioned on fuel economy, the gains that we have reached also were recognized by J.D. Power. Between 2004 and 2009, we had the most significant improvement in fuel economy of any manufacturer across the board. As a matter of fact, on a percentage basis, our numbers increased twice the level of improvement of our next competitor. So right now we're in a period where in the Detroit area, gasoline's, you know, 275, 285, depending on the weekend. It, you know, varies obviously in your part. But, you know, all projections are that gas will, you know, be higher rather than lower. So we're preparing for the future on that. The American public has made dramatic reactions to when fuel economy prices spike, and we want to be prepared for that. So we're making excellent progress on that. The other area that we've made terrific progress has been on safety. As a matter of fact, we're one of the highest-ranked automobile manufacturers in safety. We have more five-star ratings than any other manufacturer in the United States, and safety is obviously a key concern as we move forward. And, you know, the post this year has had a tremendous amount of focus in the public press about safety of various manufacturers. So we're very proud of the progress and the record that we have in safety. I also want to talk beyond sync of some of the safety and technology elements that we're including in our cars. And there's a long list, but let me just touch on a few of them. We have adaptive speed control in the vehicle. So when your vehicle is on speed control and it senses through a radar component that the vehicle ahead of you is you're closing the gap, the vehicle automatically will go off speed control and slow down. We have collision alert. So when you get really close at any speed, whether or not it's on speed control, bright red bar goes across the front of your windshield and an alert goes. So if you're even going 25 miles an hour and you're approaching a right-hand turn and the car in front of you is slowed down more than the gap would allow, this alert goes off. We have blind spot information alert, and that's an expansion of the radar technology that's in the car. So in your rearview mirrors, there are sensors in the bumpers, and it alerts you to when a car is in your blind spot, and a little amber light shines on in your rearview mirror, and it works. And you know, I'm an old motorcycle guy, so I'm trained to always look before I change lanes. But now I've changed my point of view on that, and you use the blind spot warning. So it's another example of technology going into the car. And, of course, as I mentioned, we have sync, and we have a MyKey technology where you can, if you have a teenage or other similarly irresponsible people who ride in your car, you can program the top speed of the car, you can actually program the volume on the radios, etc., so that when you give the car to the kids like I did, you have a feel, you have a little bit more control over what they're doing. So again, it's more and more improvements in the technology of the vehicles to make impute the value in them. I wanted to talk about how the new products are, how they're appealing to the consumer, and how what the value proposition is, because I think that's of interest to all of you. First off, as we've made these great improvements in fuel economy and technology and safety, et cetera, the favorable opinion of Ford has grown dramatically. You may see some data. It's at the highest opinion level that we've had in years. As a matter of fact, it has recently reached the highest level ever recorded for Ford vis-a-vis our competitors. Purchase consideration, there's purchase funnel. Purchase consideration is also at the highest level that it's been. So there's been a dramatic improvement as a result of terrific product, the product development process, and terrific manufacturing processes. So consideration and favorable opinion, highest levels they've been in year. And, of course, that has resulted in bigger and bigger market share from Ford. You're well aware, if you listen to the monthly calls that I participate in, that we have gained market share in over the last 21 months. So the consumers are voting with their wallet, and they're saying that what Ford is doing makes sense for us. We've also delivered on what I talk about again in the monthly call of very judicious and appropriate incentive levels of spending and in our production planning. It's been, many of you have critiqued the industry over that in the past. I can tell you that we are very vigilant. We will keep our dealers in a competitive perspective on incentives, but we will carefully watch our inventories. As a matter of fact, I'm part of the team that meets weekly, and we tune our production to meet the demands of the marketplace so that we don't overload the marketplace with excess inventory, which leads to some of the incentive patterns that have existed in the past. So we keep a very, very careful eye on that. So in doing that and putting the value in the car, we have experienced significant improvement in our transaction prices, and we have shown significant improvement in our resale values. For example, the 2010 Fusion, and this is a very granny apple to granny apple comparison. The 2010 Fusion now has higher transaction prices than the 2010 Camry. We have similar success stories in many other of our products. The consumers are saying, if you put the features that we want, from fuel economy to quality to safety to technology, we will buy your product. We're very pleased with that. We also have, for example, the new Taurus, which is a terrific product, built in our great Chicago assembly plant, one of the top quality plants in the United States. The transaction price of the Taurus is higher than the Toyota Avalon. Again, great strides and a great new product. Let's talk about residual value. We talk about transaction prices, what's happening on the showroom floor today. Let's look at how residual values are playing out, what the projections from outside people such as ALG are saying. Right now, for example, they are predicting that, and we are finding that the Focus is outperforming the Toyota Corolla in the marketplace from residual values and how they're coming off lease. Again, it's the public saying what you're doing at Ford is right between the value proposition and all the other elements that I talked about. The other area that we're focusing, aside from product development and manufacturing, is our dealer body. I want you to know that our dealer relations, which is oftentimes in the trade journal with what some of our competitors have done, we've taken a different approach. Our dealer relations are terrific. Matter of fact, last week we had the dealer council in, very productive, collaborative, cooperative environment, working on the issues facing the industry. NADA publishes an independent study of dealer relations with the factory, and we had the winter results that came out in the spring of this year. There are 12 key areas that our dealers judge us on. In nine of the 12 areas, including value of the franchise and a forward look at the franchise, they were the highest that they've been in the 19 years that NADA has published results. We've made terrific progress with our dealers through very, very difficult times. They've appreciated the approach we've taken, and together we have delivered in the marketplace. In summary, before I take your questions, I think that the Ford story is simply very good progress in a very difficult environment that hasn't recovered as quickly as any of us thought it would. We have highlighted by focusing on delivering the product throughout the full range, from Fiesta to Super Duty. We have made progress by delivering on fuel efficiency, technology, quality, and safety. We'll continue to do that. The product deliverables are still rolling out. This year, for example, I'll just go back and I'll go forward just in this year alone. Super Duty, two new powertrains, two new engines. Mustang, new body style last year, but two new engines, including a six-cylinder that gets 305 horsepower and 31 miles per gallon. The only six-cylinder powertrain in the world that gets over 300 horsepower and over 30 miles per gallon. Then a more robust V8. As I mentioned, new Fiesta. We've started building the new Edge and MKX with new powertrains. We announced about 2 weeks ago today the new Explorer, which our dealers will be selling in the winter with two new engines in that also. Then, of course, we'll have the new Focus in the early part of next year. Very exciting times for Ford. We certainly thank you for your support. With that, I'd be happy to answer questions on U.S. sales and marketing. You seem very eager. I should be concerned. No, okay.
In your ear.
All right.
Ken, with the exit of Mercury, tell us how that accelerates your dealer consolidation. Then secondly, how does that help you reposition and upstream Lincoln from maybe a premium to a luxury?
The vast majority of the super vast majority of Mercury dealers also had another franchise. So we have all, you know, we did a collaborative effort with our dealers to notify them of the end of Mercury, which is the end of this year. We made, rather than as some of our competitors did, we made a very appropriate offer to help them through the transition, including, for example, we determined what part of the parts that they had were associated with Mercury, and while they're given a parts return, paid them back for all the parts and told them to keep the parts. So my point is high spirit of cooperation is how this was handled at the local level in the community and with our dealers. You know the background on why the company made the difficult decision to end Mercury. We found that we wanted to apply the same focus we did with Ford to the success we've had and the great progress on to Lincoln, and that many, many of our Mercury customers, their second choice were buying Ford products. So there was we believe we will retain the vast majority of those consumers. Our goal will be to take the same focus on the product side and on the quality side and redefine the Lincoln experience through a dedicated group of Lincoln dealers. We are meeting with our Lincoln dealers, key Lincoln dealers, every other week, and we are reformulating what the Lincoln experience will be. They have an absolute firm commitment for the company to bring a true premium luxury experience back to the Lincoln brand. We're talked about the products that we'll have in the next 4 years rolling out, starting out with the MKZ Hybrid that'll be out shortly, followed by the MKX, which will be out in dealership within 90 days, and then subsequent products over the next 4 years. So we're very excited about that, and we're working very closely with our dealers to make that happen.
There's been some data recently to suggest pickup truck sales. The overall segment is rebounding. I'm curious, how much of that do you think is, you know, genuine health of the economy versus Ford itself having just launched a new product? Because it seems like most of the share gains are accruing to Ford. And I'm wondering if this is just transitory because of product cycle launches of competitors like Ford, or do you think there's actually a genuine comeback in the small business owner?
Well, I think it's twofold. Number one, all wise consumers are clearly choosing Ford. It is a terrific pickup truck. I have to throw in a couple commercials. I am the sales guy. We've had truck leadership for 33 years, so this isn't something we've stumbled on. We do have great new pickup, and I think that the Super Duty has been terrific. As a matter of fact, in recent months, the Super Duty, which is a larger truck, you know, the diesels, it's had over 50% of the market and hasn't had that in almost a decade. So clearly the consumers are voting with their wallet in that regard. What we're finding is there's been a slight increase in the segment. You know, every percent of increase in segment is important. I believe that it's being fed by the government's to the degree of 1% over 11 to 12-ish, okay, that kind of gain. I believe that's being fed by a lot of the government work that's being, you know, put in money that's being put into the economy. I don't know about you, but everywhere I go, I see construction. Drive back and forth to Chicago, and the roads are under construction. You drive around here, and not only like the good old days when they only disrupted traffic during rush hour, they're even there on the weekends and in late evenings. So I think there's a lot of construction work. Perfect demographic for people who like to buy, you know, trucks, and they fuel that segment. I believe that as the market grows, and it will grow, that segment will stay around, you know, 11-ish%, but the market will just be bigger. But in the meantime, I think that segment is enjoying a rebound due to where the stimulus money is being applied. And we're getting a bigger share of that pie because we've got a terrific truck.
In 2009, I think Ford saw roughly in North America a $4 billion profit improvement strictly from net pricing, which, you know, on a $50 billion revenue division is quite a large number. I'm just wondering if you could comment on your view on the sustainability of that rate of price gains that you guys have seen.
In the overall market, not just on trucks. Yes. We believe it's clearly sustainable. There are cycles, but as the market increases, there'll be an increase in demand. And frankly, in my long tenure in the business, I've always been a strong believer that if you continue to offer the right products that people want at the reasonable price, you will get the revenue gain. So I don't see a dissipation of the revenue as long as we continue to build, you know, the best in class fuel economy, as I mentioned, and, you know, good quality, and put technology in it that consumers are desirous of. I think that we will sustain the revenue gains that we've enjoyed. People will pay for the product they want. Yes.
So historically, we've kind of seen, and you touched on inventories briefly, like 60 days being kind of the historical average, and we're obviously way below that now, and you are producing vehicles more. Do we ever get back to that level? Is that Ford's mission, or are we seeing kind of a new paradigm where that number is actually going to be much lower?
Well, right now it's about at 60 days. I mean, coincidentally, at the end of July, I think our number was 58 days, and the industry was right around there. I know that we, and I believe the industry, is going to keep attempting to lower the day's supply. I might add that averages are averages because, you know, you see the whole list of various manufacturers, and for long periods of time, some of the competitors have had, you know, much lower day's supply, and some have wandered up. Now, there's a certain... when you're a broad manufacturer like Ford and you have trucks, someone told me that a couple years ago, it's only math, you know, you got work trucks and pleasure trucks and, you know, all sorts of different sizes and towing capacities. There was literally over 1 billion combinations. It's math. We have worked very hard with our dealers and with consumers to, you know, boil down the complexity. And we will continue to do that. The other part of the equation is, I think as historically manufacturers were a little less efficient than they could be relative to fulfilling the promise to the dealer and to the consumer of how long will it take if I order a car today, when will I get it? If there's uncertainty in the marketplace about that, the dealers feel, well, I need to have more on the ground because I don't want, you know, the customer leaving my place and going down the road and buying, you know, stumbling upon the one they want. So part of it is an obligation on our part to be able to efficiently fulfill, and I won't really define that, efficiently fulfill a dealer's order for a customer that he wants the red Mustang convertible with the V6 engine. And we're working very hard on that. When we do that, it'll help the company by reducing inventories, and it'll also help the dealers because the dealers pay a significant amount of their operational costs to not only pay you know, a floor plan source for interest, but they have lot damage and they had to buy bigger lots, and, you know, there's movement of vehicles, et cetera. So people have criticized the industry in the past over, why do you need such large inventory? So the industry as a whole, and we will continue to lower the day's supply of vehicles. I also think that when there's a large supply of vehicles, there's a tendency in the industry to say, well, we better put some additional incentives on. And that has a dampening effect on, you know, residuals and transaction prices, et cetera. So we're working together to address that issue at Ford very aggressively. Yes, sir.
So you talked a little bit about residual values versus the competition, and it strikes me that seems to be, you know, a critical issue where, rightly or wrongly, there's a perception that some of the Japanese cars will last longer. Are there any things that you can point to in terms of Ford's strategy that, you know, would overcome that either now or, say, in the next 5 years?
Well, I'll adjust my answer in two parts. Number one, the first thing you have to do is you have to bring the facts to the marketplace. Yeah, I mean, you have to deliver the goods to the marketplace. How's that? And I, you know, those are facts, and I believe we've made great strides in that. You know, fuel economy is fuel economy, and it's, you know, set out by the government, and safety is safety, et cetera. The other is, you're absolutely right, that we have to attack the misperception of what we've got. And we've been very aggressive in that, and it's taken many forms. It's gone beyond, let's add 20% to the ad budget, because, you know, especially let's add it to the major networks for point of exaggeration. We're very active with major networks, but getting the message across these days is a lot more complex, and we've been working very hard on that. So we're as appropriate, we're very big into the digital world. For example, last year on Mustang, where we had significant improvements, you know, it was a fine-tuning. Mustang's a Mustang unless you've owned them all. But we've made incredible improvements on interior detail and the dash and this and that. 65% of our budget went to digital. So you'd never traditionally do it. You know, so you talk to people who watch a lot of TV, and they say, well, shoot, I didn't see the TV ad. But, you know, the vast majority of our money went to digital. Similarly, we're fine-tuning the message. And the message is being fine-tuned where we want the consumers to tell our story. So our Drive One campaign elicited the energy of our consumers who would point out features, and it's a real thing, and it's conveying to the consumer that, shoot, you know, real people are doing this. You know, I can experience this also. It's been very successful for us. So we've gotten our dealers engaged in spreading the message also. We have a Drive One for Your School campaign where we've worked with our local dealers, who are the absolute heart of our business, to go to the schools. The schools are under budget, crushing budget constraints, and said, you know, let's do a fundraiser and let's sell cookies. You know, come on, you can come to the dealership, you can experience the new Ford rides, and we'll donate. You know, you pay, you know, Mr. Parent, you pay $5, and we'll match it, or whatever the case may be, and come and experience the product. People who had never experienced the product before then come to the dealership, and just through word of mouth, whether or not they're buying, they feel good about, you know, supporting their school, but they also said, you know, shoot, I drove that new Ford Flex, and it's incredible. And then when they're out in the marketplace through word of mouth, we're making great progress. But as I said, what we call the funnel metrics have improved dramatically for Ford. There's just been really good, you know, deserved buzz in the marketplace about the progress that we're making.
Just a quick couple questions. One is, of the Transit van, was that particularly designed for the service industry? I see a lot of, you know, major corporations backing that Transit van for service people. And then two, could you just talk a little more on vehicle electronics again? How much do you expect it to increase, and what do you expect to see in the future on that?
Okay, first off, with the Transit Connect, has been a hugely successful global product. I believe the number is there's 700,000 of them. You know, you go to Europe or you go to other parts of the world and you see Transit Connects everywhere. So we brought it into the United States in the fall of last year. I believe if you open the Yellow Pages with your eyes closed and put your finger in there, you'll touch on somebody who can use the Transit Connect. And it's everybody from pizza delivery to floral delivery to we probably have 1,000 uses in the United States. I mean, people guide dog services, load dogs and take them to people for training. Home cleaning services use them. They're terrific for that. And it's been, this is a tough market for that business. For small business people, it's not, they're not aggressively replacing the fleet. They're trying to get every mile they can out of it. The vehicle gets great miles per gallon. And so in a short turning radius, which is why it was so effective in Europe where they have those narrow streets, we're seeing better and better business with that. As a matter of fact, last month we had an all-time sales record with it as that part of the economy continues to grow. And between the Transit Connect and the Econoline van, we have a dominance in the van marketplace. So we've been very pleased with that, and we would anticipate as the small business environment picks up and those owners replace their vehicles that they will choose the Ford Transit Connect. I think we may be all set. Well, I want to thank you. You've had a keen interest in following us. We've been pleased with our progress. I sure could use everybody to go out and buy a car or truck today, particularly a Ford, and see me afterward, and we'll help you with that. So thank you very much.